Hello, hello, hello. I'm your Mary Berry hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth.
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
look. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo
got the goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And how ya all doing? Yes, y'all. She is on the mend. Still a little bit of congestion left, you know, from this winter cold of New York City. It's just like, it's that whole thing. Like, it's snowing, it's freezing. You're in a hot apartment. You go back out into the cold. It's snowing, it's freezing. You know, so I just really want to thank you all out there for all the love and good wishes you all sent me over the past week. She is on the mend, honey. And you know what's been really lifting my spirits these days? Freestyle music. For those of you that don't know about freestyle music was like kind of a 90s phenomenon here in like New York, New Jersey, maybe even Florida. It is a very specific sound. Go out there and like Google like Jocelyn Enriquez. You know, the radio plays our favorite song and it just keeps me moving on. Oh my God, you will dance your life away and not feel so lonely during this pandemic stuck in your house. How was Valentine's Day for everyone? I mean, were you like me, just up in the bed with like the cookie dough and the ice cream and the Housewives of Atlanta? Mine was fabulous because, like I said last week, I give a lot of love and I get a lot of love in return. And what? Self-love is the best love, people. But let's get to the getting on, because today's guest, I am super, super excited to have with me today. I don't think y'all are ready. Please join me in welcoming the one, the only, the naked nutritionist himself, Daniel O'Shaughnessy. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. I'm from London.
How are you?
I'm good. I was just saying I was cold, but it's the same in New York. Right.
I mean, do we detect an accent here on In Yo Mouth? Oh my goodness, we're so.
Is it going to get me places?
Kind sir, like you don't know, the keys to this door are free floating out there these days.
Well, being British, we kind of know the accent gets places, so it gets people far. So.
Yes, I mean the accent gets you very far, especially with being shady, right? Because you throw the accent on some shade, and then it just sounds lovely, and you're like, was he just shady? No. I love it. But wait a minute. You call yourself the naked nutritionist, and you are fully clothed. I don't understand. Oh. I want my money back.
Have you paid yet?
Yes, it's international wires. It's like, it takes a while to get there.
It's too cold to take my clothes off now. No, I have to do the play on words for today.
Oh, are we worried about shrinkage? Is that what's happening?
Oh, yeah, exactly. The gyms haven't been open, and so let's talk about that shrinkage.
Oh, yes, yes, the gym shrinkage. That's what we're worried about. Listen, if anything, during this pandemic, I've just been growing in all sorts of places. But we will get to it. For those of you that don't know out there, folks, In Your Mouth listeners, Daniel is a fabulous award-winning registered nutritionist and certified functional medicine practitioner with over 10 years of clinical experience who has helped thousands of people find better health. He is a firm believer in personalized nutrition to help you to understand your body holistically, transform your life, and what? Feel great. He is currently on a journey to get his book released called Naked Nutrition, an LGBTQ-focused guide to good health and diet. So welcome, Daniel. We are so happy to have you. But before we get anywhere, Dan, may I call you Dan? Are you a Daniel? Like. Oh, well then I'll call you mine.
We won't start doing drag names yet.
Oh my goodness. In the grand tradition of In Your Mouth, Daniel, I need to wish you happy National Cafe Olé Day.
Oh, indeed. didn't know that was today. That's why I'm drinking tea, maybe I'm rebelling.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you must. In Your Mouth, listeners, it's so funny because before we started recording, Daniel told me he was drinking tea, and I said to him, I was like, but it's not 3 o'clock yet. How gauche, right? And on this National Cafe Olé Day, I mean...
I mean, who put that as a national day?
Well,
do you know the origins of it?
No, this is my question of the ages. Every podcast, I get all my national food days from a fabulous website called Foodimentary. They have a food day for every day, but I don't know who's behind Foodimentary. I don't know who came up with these things. Sometimes there's conflicting information. Sometimes there's 2 day, like it's a 2 a day. You're just lucky enough that it's Café Olé Day.
Okay. And it's like a little French twist on it.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, I'm more of an like almond milk if I'm having my Café Olé kind of girl. Or actually hazelnut milk because it's better for the environment, I hear.
Is it? Didn't know that.
Yeah, like almond milk is killing the bees. Did you not know this?
Well, what about oat milk? Would that be better for
yes.
the environment?
So... oat milk is allegedly number one for the environment, followed by hazelnut milk.
Okay. But have you tried hazelnut milk?
I love hazelnut milk.
You do? It's quite distinct.
Yeah, but it's delicious in your coffee.
Oh, okay. I haven't had it in the coffee, but you can't have a lot.
I mean, you know, a little bit goes a long way. Get your Nespresso... your Nespresso milk frother out, throw some hazelnut milk in there. Yes, I say hazelnut. And just throw it in your coffee. It's like a je ne sais quoi, you know? It's like really good.
Okay. So we'll have hazelnut milk day next year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there already is one. I haven't done the research. But no,
it probably is.
Probably. But no matter what you celebrate out there, happy National Café Olé Day to you, Daniel, and to you all In Your Mouth listeners. And moving right along to this day in gay history, did you know, Daniel, that 1989, you probably don't because you don't live here, Chicago's new gay rights ordinance takes effect. It mandates fines up to $500 for discrimination based on sexual orientation. Yeah.
No. Well, we were in the height of Section 28 in the mid-80s.
Which is what?
So that was a law passed by Margaret Thatcher, who was our prime minister in the 80s.
Never heard of her.
In The Crown, you might have obviously seen recently, where it forbid the teaching of anything gay in schools.
Oh, wow.
So it was such a big thing. If you, when you'll see, there's a show called It's a Sin coming out on HBO in February.
All right.
Amazing must watch. And it talks a little bit about that. It's more about the HIV epidemic. So
amazing. All right. Come through, Daniel, with some history in return. I love
there you go.
That. But it just goes to show you that our history is not like... is more recent than one would think, you know, like that 1989 wasn't that long ago, y'all. So, you know what? Good things happening in Chicago, not so great things happening in the UK, but I want to get to the meat of the story and know a little bit more about you. So let's start where we always start, at the very beginning. Why nutrition? Why become a nutritionist? What led you to that path, Daniel?
Oh, it's a bit of a weird long story. I guess the idea was in my head for a long time, but I thought I had to go through the typical university route when I finished school, and I did some criminal law degree, which I didn't care less for, really. I thought I had to do it. But then that led me to working in the addiction field, which I quite enjoyed, and working with clients. I started to see there the impact of food on the nutrition working with addiction. But then looking back into my life, I was like, my mother worked for Weight Watchers, and she was always going on about health and diet. And so things started clicking, and then I just then pushed myself into the nutrition field. But most people think that when the nutritionist always has a story around how they were so ill and got themselves better. And that really wasn't me, but I've obviously helped my body with nutrition and how it, you know, and I do see food as medicine, and I see what is one of my big motivators to kind of help is help is knowing that chronic diseases can be helped with nutrition. So never settle with a medication impact or a symptom or something. Always try and work out what the root cause is. And that drove me into what I do and individualizing things, being quite personalized with food, diet, people.
Yeah, that, I mean, that sounds pretty amazing, especially coming to that decision via helping people with their addiction, you know, issues. And I noticed that you mentioned on your website, too, that you yourself were dealing with, like, some skin and fatigue issues that this helped with, yes?
Yeah, so I've had long-standing skin issues as a typical ginger here with, you know, pale white skin, typical, they call it atopic skin. So I used to have these breakouts when I was a young kid. I didn't know, and I was tired a lot of the time. So I didn't really think this was something I just had to live with it rather than get it fixed. And so when I say I wasn't particularly guided by it into nutrition, I wasn't. But when I was learning about nutrition, I was like, this is something that really can be fixed and can be changed. So I started looking into a bit more. And it turns out I was, you know, it was more about sensitivity to certain foods. And overnight, when I was a teenager, my skin on my legs was covered in acne. And by taking out, it was gluten that was affecting it. And I was not a celiac, but as soon as I took gluten out of my diet, it just went away in like 2 weeks. So
yeah, isn't it funny the way the body reacts to like certain things and like the way like the body's just going to do what it does, you know, and sometimes it's literally eliminating or adding something. For example, I too have had long-standing skin issues like rosacea, seborrheic dermatitis, which for those of you out there who don't know, it's almost like face dandruff. It's very weird. And, you know, on all these pills for years from dermatologist to dermatologist to dermatologist. And then all of a sudden someone suggested to me celery juice, to which I was adding fresh organic turmeric. Y'all, that's a pain in the mother effing butt to like juice daily. But the skin like immediately brightened and all the issues went away. And when I was talking to a doctor who is a friend to the pod, Dr. Zagragan, she was saying to me, she goes, I'm not surprised that worked for you because you're putting anti-inflammatories into your body. And it's like rosacea and things like that are most often associated with gut health, you know? And so she was like, you were fixing yourself from the inside out. And that's why that worked. And so, I mean, it's just all really, really interesting in that way.
Well, celery is, it's not a cure for everything, but celery in itself is quite hydrating. Because it has electrolytes in it. But the turmeric, the active ingredient in it is curcumin, which is naturally anti-inflammatory. And there's so much research gone into turmeric, how amazing it is for all sorts of issues that it's like you can't have a number one. But you put the fresh stuff in your juice, yeah?
Yeah, the fresh.
It stinks. It goes everywhere and it colors your hands.
Yeah, it's like beets. Beets, like, you know how beets dye everything? And you're like, wait a minute, how did beet juice get into my onto my bathroom sink, right? Meanwhile, the beets were nowhere there. The same thing with turmeric. The minute you touch it, it's just like orange, yellowy everywhere.
But it's such one of the most functional foods for health.
Yeah. I take a very expensive turmeric pill these days because I just couldn't juice on the daily. Living in 120 square feet in Times Square, juicing is not ideal.
Yeah, and it probably is more concentrated in the tablet. There are pros and cons for supplements, but sometimes it's convenience with that.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, let's go. I want to give the audience here like a 101 almost. Like, why would we go see a nutritionist, you know? And I say that because I hear about nutritionists all the time. I feel like nutritionists here, at least in the States, can be quite costly. So it's not necessarily a thing that's on like the forefront, at least of my mind here in New York, of seeing a nutritionist, as opposed to being like, well, I can just like go on the keto diet. Like, why do I need a nutritionist? Or I can just start juicing. Like, why do I eat broccoli and chicken breasts? I'm pretty healthy. Like, Why?
Well, there's different types of nutritionists in that respect. There's some that will just give you, like, here's a healthy eating plan, this is what you do, fine. And that's good for people that want to be, have a bit more structure, have accountability, make sure the diet's varied and contains vitamins and minerals, etc. Then there's, like, the kind of nutritional therapy side of things and the functional medicine side of things, where you might have a particular health issue and it's not about acute health issue, it's more chronic health issues. So fatigue, skin, digestion, like IBS, you might have stress issues, whatever it is. But then what you can do with those is you can help to understand the root cause of it with a nutritionist. So a nutritionist can make a full case history to try and work out what might be actually causing what's going on. So let's just take apart a digestive example. So someone who has irritable bowel syndrome might have had issues for 10 years and not understanding what's going on. So with the work of a nutritionist, you can either look at the diet. Are there any offending, like, foods that the person may be sensitive to? How are they digesting their foods? How are they, are they eating any fermented foods, things like that? How is their fiber intake? But they can go a step further and they can look at testing and understanding the function of the body. So with a test, I'm able to understand what exactly is the cause of someone's IBS, or what is the most likely cause of it. So are they digesting well? Where are they digesting their protein well? Because this is one of the biggest things I see a lot of, is people that are super stressed, also having lots of reflux or heartburn because they're not digesting well because they're in this stressful state the whole time. You can look at bacteria balances and parasites, yeast, things like that. So the thing is, it all gets a bit complicated. So when you look at it yourself and you think, well, you've tried the diet, it hasn't worked, and you're still having these issues and you're getting frustrated about why you've got X, Y, or Z, then you...
I love a good Z. I tried to make Zed happen after I toured the UK, and everyone here, because my last name is M-U-N-O-Zed, and anyone who would spell it would be M-U-N-O-Z-E-D, sidebar.
And you're just saying you toured the UK, which is a bit of a, like, we're a small island, but there's nothing outside Zone 1, really, in London. That's like Manhattan.
Listen, I've been from Torquay all the way up to Glasgow on a bus. So through Wales and beyond.
We have that mega bus. It's $1 to go through the whole thing.
Oh. I was being paid to do it, but
paid on the dollar bus. No.
Listen, I've done more for less at this point, honey. So
there
yes, no, but back to, A to Z here. It's really, really interesting, and thank you for that, because I feel like more often than not we hear of nutritionists, and at least in my mind, sometimes I compare it to, like, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe like a life coach, and it's just like, well, why do I need that? Is that a luxury? And putting this perspective on it and this spin on it, definitely clarifies things, at least for me in my head, as far as nutritionists go, because I'm forever on some sort of diet. I'm intermittent fasting now, and let me tell you, I am hungry.
Hangry.
I am hungry. Not angry. My spirits are up.
Yeah, I think it's it's a good tool to use. But like you said about also the coaching side of things, like, once I give recommendations, well, if you went to a doctor's office and they just gave you, look, you've got to do X, Y, and Z, then you've got to actually do it and put it into your diet. So part of what I do is saying to someone, this is the issue, you've got to do this. And part of it is like, okay, how can it work for you? So, we work around it.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that I really love about you, besides the nakedness of it all, guys, he's really not naked. Just go to Instagram while you're listening to this and hit up at The Naked Nutritionist, and you'll see the beautiful face, the really, really cute dog, the ginger of it all, and you can, like, go and book a session or do all the things, right? He has all the followers. We love it here, right? We stand Daniel. But one of the things I really love about you is that you're super LGBTQ focused. Now, what sets us apart from, like, let's say, the cis hetero world?
Well, I'm going to answer this by...
By song?
Well, I would, but I haven't got my wigs in the other room, so I can only sing when I got a wig on. So
oh, okay.
We'll come back to another podcast with that. But I actually, when I started floating the idea that I was going into the idea, going into a specialism of LGBTQ plus health, people who didn't really understand it were the ones that are in the community. And outside, it was like, oh, yeah, that's fine. It's like, you know, I get it. But I actually got trolled a little bit on some Facebook websites or whatever it is, saying, how, you know, mate, you just want to get famous. What are you doing? And I'm like, what? This doesn't make sense. But when I was looking into it, there was no information where people could either, you know, read or understand health that connects to them a bit better. And there are, you know, just like men's health, women's health, you know, there is a sector for LGBTQ plus health. And you still might be thinking, what is this and how is it? But when I start talking about it, like transgender health, like, you know, all the hormone therapy, transitioning, the support that needs to be with that, and that can be helped with food and nutrition. We've got, you know, sexual health practices, and you know, the most common question I get asked about is sex, and, you know, and how, and but that applies to both male and female and non-binary and.
But who's having sex these days? We're stuck. I guess if you have a boyfriend, are you single?
I am single.
Oh.
So, maybe, you know, but yes, it's the thing, no one's really having sex at the moment, but it's about also, maybe one day we'll be able to have sex again. But then there's, you know, the other question I get asked is about party lifestyle. And my background is obviously in addiction. And, you know, I get asked a lot how to, look, I know I shouldn't do it, but if I'm going to do it, what do I do to help myself be the best I can? I'm like, okay, we can put that in. The HIV support.
Yes. I'm just going to interrupt you really quickly for the cis hetero nation and the other nation out there that doesn't recognize what party lifestyle means, right? What Daniel is referring to. There is a big sector of the gay community, the partiers, right? Who, you know, love their party drugs, the GHB, the K, the cocaine, the meth, right? And
exactly.
Right. And it's a big affliction, especially during this pandemic. I notice it a lot around me in the neighborhood that I live in. And it's something that has consumed the LGBTQ community, not just now. I think the pandemic has, like, reopened a very scary door, but it's been here for a while. So that's what Daniel is referring to out there, mouthfuls.
So, I mean, this sort of information, you might be afraid to ask about it in fear of either judgment or someone not understanding. But, you know, this is what I wanted to put it all together in a resource. So that's what led me to writing the book. So,
yeah, that's amazing. And I think we need it. I think things like addiction, we're not talking about things like, you know, trans issues are on the forefront of our mouths these days, but not enough. And they need as much support as they can get from us as a community as a whole, you know? And so I love that, A, and B, it's super important because we are, although we are the same, we are different, you know? And we're living a little differently.
That's exactly what I said in my pitch to the publisher. I mean, the same but different, and that's, you know, and this is, even if it's giving someone the right tools to be able to live the healthiest life as possible, or to have the knowledge of, like, I'm thinking of transitioning, this is what I need to consider. And it all goes back to, like, a common sense idea of what a diet is, but there are certain things like super functional foods that for someone living with HIV might be able to be easily add to their diet. So yeah, I'm looking forward to bringing something out that And also, if you just search like gay health or, you know, LGBT health, it all comes up with mental health. And I think we get it. We get the idea of shame. We've all, you know, come across the velvet rage and understand about validation and stuff like that. But going a bit further, it's like, well, what can I do? And what is it more than mental health? And there's physical health and, you know, lifestyle and things like that. So
yeah, and especially these days when mental health is of the utmost importance, right? Anxiety, we are all, well, I can't blanket statement, but a lot of us are dealing with new anxiety and new feelings. And, you know, whether we're in lockdown, not lockdown, we can go out, we can't go out. Every other day, the world is changing these days. And so, yeah, that's super, super important. What was growing up like for you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Windsor.
She's famous.
So there was more than one queen in that town.
Yeah, she is the reigning queen.
Yeah. So I do, every time I usually get asked, do you know the queen? And my mother sees the queen fairly often riding a horse in the park. She doesn't make a big secret of it. She just rides around and she's like on 90 on the back of a horse. So, but growing up for me, it was interesting. I was fat, gay, ginger, in a school, all boys school, and it kind of didn't really go well in that aspect. I was that bullied child, but saw through it, got through it, and my brother was gay as well. So that was quite. I remember my brother coming out, and I just had this like face, like. Because my parents turned around to me and said, right, you've got to be the one that gets married now and have kids. And I just looked at I remember going white almost and just thinking, God. And I had to come out like bisexual at first and then.
The bisexual bridge, right? And shout out to all my bisexual people out there, right? Who let us cross that bridge.
Exactly. I was not owning it, and the way I did it, and I don't have any regrets about how I did it. I'm quite proud of how far I've come, I guess. But growing up, I mean, I'm still, it was. I think naturally, as LGBTQ plus people, the population, we do grow up with shame, and because we're always told no, 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 and we're always, even if you're not actively being targeted, you always have this sense of shame, like, what you feel, what you think isn't right. So
yeah, I talk about it all the time on this pod. We hear all sorts of coming out stories here on In Your Mouth. And one thing that's consistent is the shame and the fear of coming out, whether the good, even with the good coming out stories, right? I was terrified, right? And it's because of exactly that. Growing up, no matter whether you're here in the States or in the UK or wherever, it's always no, 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 no. And there's this like sense of like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm. Exactly. Right? And I thought, you go into this autopilot mode in the weeks before you're coming out and thinking, you almost prepare for the worst. And it's such a, but you don't even tell yourself that. You just assume there is the worst going to happen. And it was quite interesting, I think. And my mother's response, actually, when I finally came out was, the heating's broken down. Why are you telling me this now? I was like, what? So, but yeah, she now embraces the fact that she's got two gay sons
and a wardrobe to die for.
Exactly. She gets looked after. I said, at least we're not boring, mother.
Yeah, I mean, life is just, has a little bit more sparkle to it. I love all of that. I love everything about that story. And I think, I want to take a little bit of break, right? And while we're up on a high note here, and take you, Daniel, to my favorite part of the podcast and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. I hope you're ready for a little bit of something we like to call Food News Update. Food news.
Ooh, honey,
you ain't ready.
Girl, spill the tea.
News Update.
Michelle Obama is launching a cooking show on Netflix. Have you heard about this, Daniel?
No, we're still on Framing Britney, even though we haven't seen it.
So, oh my God.
We're getting the news late.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if y'all haven't seen Framing Britney out there, I mean, it's no new news, but it's really crazy. Like, can somebody just free Britney, please?
I know, it's coming. But Michelle Obama, she's like the mother of the world at the moment. So.
She really is. I don't know what other first lady is like we can compare Michelle Obama to, you know? Like, she's...
Well, they had Barbara Bush, but she wasn't as loving and open as... But it was... Yeah.
Maybe Jackie O?
Maybe, yeah. Well, but she seems like the person you would go to for advice. She's that friend you would go to if you're like, oh, I need some help with something.
Yeah, and you know, if you called up Michelle Obama, she'd be like, yeah, well, this is what you need to be doing. I think you're making bad choices. You know?
How would you feel if he did that to you, or you know that? Kind
yeah,
of stuff?
Like then, yeah, I love the way you put that, and I love that she is now launching a kid-centric cooking show on Netflix. And Obama, Miss Obama, or former First Lady Obama, will be a star and executive producer of Waffles and Mochi, which will be available for streaming starting March 16th. Geared towards a younger audience, it will feature two puppets, aptly named Waffles and Mochi, and Obama as the supermarket owner. The show will chronicle their journey as they try to become chefs.
It's a very interesting concept. I will look forward to seeing that.
I actually think so too, because I chose this because I really feel like it's going to be nutrition based, you know, and like eating healthy and, you know, and deliciously.
Called Waffles and Mochi.
Waffles and Mochi. I mean, delicious though. I mean, listen, I think you would agree that it's all about balance in life, you know, like
exactly.
If you're gonna
made some brownies with butternut squash.
Wait.
Yeah. So that's my balance. They're actually quite delicious.
Brownies with butternut squash?
Yeah.
First and foremost, what is the consistency like?
Gooey. Like nice texture.
Oh, is it like a fudgy?
You can't taste the difference. All right. If I gave it to you, you would not notice there was butternut squash in it.
All right. Listen, I'm here for an alternative dessert, but I must be convinced first because I have a friend out there, shout out to you, I know you're listening, who is always telling me, oh my God, yeah, this is just like ice cream, and I'll go buy it, and it's nothing like ice cream, you know?
The thing is, your apartment might not be fixed to make these. You have to make them yourself, but...
No, listen, my apartment is fixed. I used to do a lot, let's say, out of this apartment, like... custom cakes and all sorts
Fine.
Of all sorts
I'll send
of
you the recipe and then you can let us know what you think.
All right, challenge accepted. I accept. Well, I think Daniel and I are here for Michelle Obama's cooking show. I can't wait to see it, and shout out to you, Michelle Obama. Taco Bell introduces flavor-packed all-purpose seasonings, coming in mild and hot.
Can I explain what my face is doing right now? If
yes,
you could
please.
Move. I had Taco Bell once, and I realized recently there was one in London. It's disgusting.
Oh my God. But Taco Bell, I'm sorry, is delicious. I won't eat it, right?
Oh.
Because it's not part of the diet.
I had it in LA, and I was like, I think we had it after a night out, and I was just, even then I was repulsed by eating it.
Do you know, in some poll, it was years ago at this point, or like many, many episodes ago, there was a food news update that Taco Bell was rated the number one Mexican restaurant in America. And I was like, how insulting to the entire nation of Mexico.
Exactly. And there's such good Mexican food in America.
There is. But Taco Bell is very specific Taco Bell. Like, I don't even consider it Mexican. It's like Taco Bell.
It's Pizza Hut. It's the same company. But the seasoning they're releasing, surely is just going to be like chemicals and preservatives and
And salt.
And,
yeah,
and
delicious.
Salt and sugar.
That's, and delicious. Yeah. I mean.
Well, I'm sure it will, you know, I'm sure there's better things out there for you. I'll pass on that one.
Like, better things out there for you, like Weetabix and Heinz beans.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. And you see what I did there? I like inserted
a... put it in.
Yes, I slid in a UK food news update. So, In Your Mouth listeners, well, first and foremost, shout out to you, Taco Bell, because I actually, they're fans of the pod, I think, in my mind. And I definitely would at least sprinkle this on some popcorn or something, for sure. But Weetabix recently... came out with a new ad campaign telling people to put their baked beans on their morning cereal. Can you explain what Weetabix is first to the audience?
So we have this cereal. It's like compressed wheat biscuits. You must have them similar ones.
I feel like we call them granola bars here.
They're not like granola bars because you buy them you eat them as cereal. So yeah. You might take two or three of them out and then put milk over them, put them in the microwave and or eat them cold. But okay. It's like an 80s cereal. It's all a right. Bit like the cornflakes kind of thing, but you would have, it's a very English thing, or they have shredded wheat, but you're not meant to, it's like a sweetish breakfast.
All right.
Then Heinz beans, which I know a lot of people are, like, why would you put beans in breakfast? But it's a very British thing to have baked beans. But they put the beans over the Weetabix, which has sent social media in...
spiraling.
Like, crazy spiraling, with all these companies actually trolling them back, but, like, quite funny.
Yeah, I saw this on your Instagram the other day, and it was absolutely hysterical. And shout out to whoever is the marketing person over at Weetabix. In Your Mouth listeners, if you've never seen a Weetabix bar, it's literally like kind of like this long oval, like cereal bar. And like Daniel said, you throw it in milk and you eat it for breakfast. And so the picture is these like oval cereal bars, almost like an American like hash brown. That's kind of like what the shape looks like, or like a McDonald's hash brown. And the picture is of Weetabix bars, these sweet Weetabix bars with the Heinz baked beans over them, which are not like American baked beans. They're less sweet for sure.
Yeah. I haven't been had any, I never had baked beans in America.
They're very sweet here. Yeah. Sweet and smoky.
Okay. So slightly different, but we still yes. have, it's still sweetish, but not, but yeah, the comments from was amazing because all these other food brands were commenting, and Domino's even said, like, we thought pineapple on pizza was something. Weetabix, hold my drink, you know.
Hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. Even like the National like Food Association like commented.
Yeah, the NHS.
The NHS commented. Nando's, I saw KFC. Whoever that marketing person was mm-hmm. brilliant, because the amount of response that it got from major brands talking simply brilliant.
It was very good. That kind of, that's a social media win. I'll give them that.
Yeah, you know? for sure. Have you discovered Wendy's Twitter account?
I've heard of it, but I haven't been on it.
Get on it, because Miss Wendy is shady as fuck, and it's the best. It's Twitter gold is what it is.
There's another one called Innocent, which is a smoothie brand in the UK.
All right.
And they are like quite amusing. And they found this, they got really famous by someone in their office having a stapler, and they put on the stapler saying, do not remove from the office. So they took the stapler on a world tour and were taking photos of it by the Eiffel Tower, by the Rome Colosseum and things like that. And it was really trending. But they post all these stuff.
That's really, really incredible. Well, you know what? Daniel may not be here for this Taco Bell seasoning, but I am. And I think we can both be here for some good marketing from Weetabix. And last but not least, Daniel, there is a cow on the lamb here in Rhode Island. There is a fugitive cow that has escaped from a slaughterhouse last week and still remains at large.
I think it should be pardoned. I think like the Thanksgiving turkey, President Biden needs to come in and pardon this cow. I think if it's got out, remember the cow is a holy animal in India.
It is. And I agree with you. Like, you know what? I think that should be the rule. If the animal manages to, like, get away, then it's automatically granted its freedom.
Exactly.
You know, it's and apparently it's been causing terror in all of these towns.
Well, it's probably traumatized from being in the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you be?
I know.
And I mean, so. I'm not talking about the gay bar, the slaughterhouse either.
Well, so, you know, we could the vegan associations could continue to have good marketing on their Twitter for this. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
They really go.
For sure. Yeah. Well, shout out to this cow, and hopefully you make it and make it to some sort of sanctuary or, like, cross a border somewhere to be safe. And with that, I think that is a perfect way to end Food News Update. How was that for you?
Good. Enjoyed that. It was fun.
Yeah, you know, it's a little break from the news cycle, like something new and interesting, you know, something for you to bring to your clients.
Exactly. Beaches of cows and Taco Bell seasoning.
I mean, you're gonna pass it in, like, a Tesco one day, and you're gonna think of who? Me.
Exactly. Exactly. And you're gonna have Weetabix on baked beans and think of me.
Yes. Well, listen.
Other way around.
One of my best friends is from London, and so he has Weetabix in the house. And I told him about this, and he was like, "Do we need to do this?" And I was like, "I don't think we need to do it."
I'm disgusting.
I'm okay with not doing it, for sure. Okay. So talk to me a little bit more about this book. When do you hope to release it? Give us all that information, please.
Well, because of the whole pandemic issue, it got a little bit delayed. So it's looking actually now to come out in January next year. So tentatively, depending on... So that'll be the latest it'll be out, but... It should be on all good bookstores, Amazon, you know, all of that. And I think they're doing international rights for it, with it as well. So,
we'll be able to get it here as well.
Well, they're at the point of selling it to other agents, and I think they've got an agent in the US that work with. If the demand's there, of course, then why not? So it's quite a different book as well. So hopefully it'll be picked up.
I love that. You also offer a lockdown reset via your website. Talk to me about that.
So that is a 14-day program, which just gets you, I call it get out of the lockdown lull, which is you've been snacking too much, not exercising so much. And it's quite an easy, let's call it a cleanse or a reset, where we focus on foods to include rather than remove. And so you get a food list of these are the foods you're going to have. You can either, and you can also choose the structure you want with it. So some might do the intermittent fasting like you do, or some that who have a fast metabolism or exercising a lot might have the free eating pattern. So, or this is different food structures, but also it's a big emphasis on self-care. So I make sure that 30 minutes a day you unplug, have a bath, or do some reading, or you know, some exercise if you want to, but phone free, away from work, emails, and all of that. So,
that sounds amazing, because I notice a lot of these, like, resets or cleanses are all about an elimination diet. And I love that you said that it's adding things to the diet as opposed to taking away.
Yeah. So naturally, the program is gluten and dairy free, but we don't talk about it like that. We talk about here's what you can have. I'll send you it and you can have a look at it yourself.
I'm ready to go on it.
Yeah, well, clients that I have it, there's a Facebook group they can join and they can get advice if they have questions about it. But the clients that have done it, they've all lost, you know, 7 pounds in 2 weeks, which is, you know, a good result in that, and they don't feel hungry, they feel better, feel more energy. So
I love it. Can I still have coffee? Is coffee on that list?
I think I've taken it out, and this is, I can't remember. I think I took caffeine out, or green tea is allowed, or one of them. But it depends, like, you know, ideally you would follow something as it is written. So it shall be. but if coffee is not actually an issue for you, then fine. But it's how you have your coffee. Does coffee upset your digestion? Is it impacting your sleep? So the reason why I take it out, or caffeinated coffee out, is to kind of create more harmony in the body. So
I get it. I'm just feeling like all these cleanses, they're no alcohol, and then you take away my coffee too, and what am I left with? You know? Celery.
I know.
I'm already single, Daniel. Then you're gonna take away my alcohol and my coffee. I mean,
I did the cleanse in the January. I did it for 4 weeks actually, and I felt a bit better. I still haven't gone on to caffeinated coffee. I'm still having decaf coffee, but that's why I had tea.
All right. How do you feel about fad diets? How do you feel about like intermittent fasting, juicing, keto, trim spa, whatever?
I think they can be a fad if you make them a fad. So things like, you know, diet pills, they're fads, or, you know, only juicing has a purpose in some ways, but not for overall longevity and health. When a juicing is, you know, you can, there's pros and cons to it. So I would say a better way to do it is juices and soups or smooth. But it's also about how much sugar is in the juice, because you're not actually getting, if there's too much fruit in the juice, there's no fiber in it, so it's going to spike your blood sugar.
People often say that about me, that there's too much fruit in my juice.
Too much. Too much sass in the pulp.
In the ass. Too much sass in the ass. You can
exactly.
Say
exactly. I thought you said this was PG. No.
I mean, we can go full R-rated on the podcast. You know, the questions are PG.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize the answers had to. I thought the answers had to be as well.
Oh, no.
But yeah, in terms of the fad diets, they're a bit, I think if anything promises you too much. I always say any diet works, or most diets work, if you stick to it. And that's the thing. It's like a diet should be able to be stuck to and enjoyed and become part of a routine. And you might kind of adjust it to you as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, makes sense. Do you cook?
I do. I cook quite a bit, especially since lockdown. I'm cooking a lot more.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Did you have like the natural ability to cook, or are you like pulling out, you know, the joy of cooking every night to like flip through the pages?
No, I can cook. I like to find something I like to find food that I want to have. Like the other night I made gluten-free breaded nuggets because I wanted chicken, but healthier version of. I like doing that sort of stuff. And I made a healthy granola. I can do smoothies, all of that. But in terms of like—
You can throw things in a blender, you just said.
Yeah. There was a show here called Can't Cook, Won't Cook.
Okay.
And I'm more of the won't cook sometimes. I can cook, but I won't cook. And unless I have the time to, I enjoy it when I'm doing it.
Yeah. You know what? We talk a lot about, obviously it's a food podcast, we talk a lot about cooking. And so many people have offered so much insight into the joy of cooking, you know, to be a little punny here. But, you know, like... Dr. J from Chop Happy his thing is finding Zen and moments of Zen and gratitude in the kitchen. So like as you stir like your sauce, it's like a meditation moment, and you know, so it's like cooking's purpose isn't for self-sustainability anymore. It's also for mental health and for taking moments and finding those moments of like joy or relaxation or like meditation.
Well, I think as a population, we're less mindful. Like, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about Netflix needs to have the right combination so you can use your phone whilst watching a show and not lose the plot. So, but cooking, you can't really browse or chat to your friends. You can talk on the phone, but it allows you to be more mindful. And what also it's doing is if you're in the process of wanting to, say, bake a cake, the thought and the process of I want to bake a cake is getting all of your chemical messengers in your brain primed, and the reward is the baked cake. So then you feel good that you've done it, and it's the accomplishment, and it's that helps your hormones and your neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, to being produced. So think of it that way.
All right, come through, doctor.
that's the science way. And the other thing is just put your goddamn phone down when
right?
You're cooking.
Yes, but yeah. After you slide into our DMs with all the nudes, that is.
Exactly.
Listen, we have a rule here, Daniel, that if someone slides into your DMs after this podcast, it is shareable with me and only me, and vice versa. It hasn't happened yet, but I mean,
that happened the other day, and I accidentally took a screenshot, and then the person who was sliding into the DM said, "Why did you take a screenshot? Why did you take a screenshot?" I was going, like, literally, I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to."
Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that Instagram lets you know when people screenshot.
If you open a picture and you screenshot the picture, they are told that you have screenshotted the picture.
Listen, we provide you a wealth of knowledge here.
There you go.
On In Your Mouth. So put that in your mouth. Oh my God, Daniel, this has been so much fun just talking to you, getting to connect with you today. Give the kids all the websites, all the social handles so we can follow you, buy the book, donate to the book. It's not a GoFundMe, but you have another sort of like fundraiser thing happening. Mm-hmm. Tell the people all of that stuff.
So all of my links are on my Instagram. It's probably the easiest thing to do, at The Naked Nutritionist. My website is thenakednutritionist.co.uk, and the link for the book is on my Instagram in the links, but it's on a platform that I crowdfunded to get the book published. But you can still pre-order the book. It's on unbound.com. If you just search the book Naked Nutrition, it comes up.
Yes, it's unbound.com/books/naked-nutrition. And it looks like you could still support this project here. Yeah.
So if you, there's still space to pre-order a copy and have your name in the back of the book. That's how it works.
As a
chief supporter. So,
I love it.
I've had amazing support with the book. People have really believed in what I'm doing, and I'm really grateful for that. But the book will go out on Amazon when it's released as well. So, or any other local bookstores that support our local shops.
Yes, especially these days, let's support all of our local shops and small restaurants and not use the apps to order food. Do it old school and call, because the apps allegedly are taking big chunks of money out of these small businesses. So support small as much as possible. Thank you once again to the Naked Nutritionist himself, Daniel O'Shaughnessy, for, you know, putting a little bit of him in our mouths, if you will. Okay. I really can't thank you enough. In Your Mouth, listeners, you know what? I don't really have much more to say. This has been such a great episode. Take care of yourselves out there. Go follow Daniel. Show him all the love. Maybe subscribe to The Cleanse. You know what? I may do it myself. And with that, I'm just going to say thank you for listening to In Your Mouth.